What's going on?
Let's get it.
Johnny, how you doing?
Good. How you been, man?
Not too bad. Back in the home turf here in the Bay Area.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah, not on East Coast time anymore. It takes a whole week to get adjusted, and then when you get adjusted, you come back, you know.
Yeah.
But no, it's all good. All right. Well, let's get right into this. Forget the PR was Saturday. Probably a good majority of our listeners are well familiar with Forget the PR, and a lot of them were probably out there, including you.
I was there. It was a it was a absolute perfect Saturday. I mean, first off, I know we talked about this last week, but I got to go back and just reiterate. It is honestly probably, I just can't wrap my head around there being a more favorite weekend I have. I love that weekend. So got up there Friday night, got up there a little later than I wanted to, but no big deal. Got up there when I got up there. Brought the two kegs from Restoration Brewworks. Shout out Restoration Brewworks for the beer. Got up there Saturday morning. You know, I want to say they start doing pack and pick up like 6. Woke up. And here's what I love. 6, it is like already like a family reunion at 6 o'clock. You're seeing people you know, hugs all around, war stories from what happened last year up until this point, but the other thing that I really love about it is just the way that Mark and Chad like talked to everybody, and down to the simplistic things of how they do the pre-race and how they talk about everything. But, they have an award that they started giving out. I want to say they've given it out for a handful of years now, but they have an award they started giving out that's not really a lot about physical accomplishments. It's almost always more about being a steward of the community and what have you done for trail racing? What have you done for ultra? What have you done for the community and society as a whole. So it's a really cool thing. I love the fact they start doing it. And every year they call the person up that won it if they're still with us. And then anyways, this year is Roy Hager.
Oh, and so nice, nice.
Right. And listen. the shit Roy Hager has done, it is insane. Insanely highly accomplished runner, right? But never mind, what he's done as a human outpaces what he's done as a runner or a race director. He has a great program that he puts together for addicts when they come out of prison or when they come out of rehab that gets them into running and all that kind of stuff. He has that, and because of that, he's actually had some of the folks run the race there. Just an all around phenomenal dude. But anyways, he got the award.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. And then so the other thing that I love about the race is they do, because all the proceeds, all of the proceeds go to Special Olympics for Delaware County and Richland County. They started adding in Richland County because, well, that's where Mo is. And the really, really, really cool thing, and you know about this, but for listeners who don't know, every year they have a athlete who's in the Special Olympics come out and give the Special Olympic oath. It is the oath. Raise your right hand and let me be brave in the attempt. If I cannot win, I wish I could remember that better. You would think I have it memorized, but it's just really cool. But anywho, race kicked off. Dude, it was low 50s, maybe when the race kicked.
Really?
And it might have got up into the mid 50s at most during the race.
Wow. That's perfect.
So, yeah, it is kind of funny though, because there were times where you could tell that the runners were maybe getting a little complacent with the coolness, because they came in. I slipped away from the beer tent for a little while and went up to Cover Bridge, which, again, for the folks who don't know, Cover Bridge, the runners come through there three times. For a 50K, they come through there three times.
Yep, that's right.
And, speaking of that, they had to be a route change this year. Oh, my God, that brings up another. Okay, anyways, they came through that first time, and they're like, oh, you look a little tired. Well, the first time you come through, you know what I mean? Like, you're at, like, mile 11-ish, I think. You know as well as I do, that five-mile loop up around the dam, that thing will sneak up and grab you by the kahunas.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, some folks came in on that second go-through, and, well, yeah, I haven't been drinking water because it's so cool out. And, yeah, man.
Let me guess, everybody was low on salt.
Dude, here's the other thing, the sneaky thing is it has that nice cool weather, right? But like the sun, it was a bluebird sky.
Really?
I mean, crystal blue skies. So when you hit one of the open like ridges or open trail section, it felt kind of hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And bro, I'm telling you, anyways, we thought for sure, we are like, oh, hell no, here goes the record. Like, this has got to be the fall of the record. That's right here.
Prime conditions.
Dude. And so at some point, first place rolled his ankle.
Oh,
and
really?
So, yeah. And I think first place had like a 5-minute jump on second. But anyways, the dude who was running in second for a lot of it ended up winning. And since we do a lot about race results, I'll go ahead and tell everybody, Jacob Conrad, who I feel like a lot of people visually know Jacob. Like if you're from the Mo area, if you run a lot of races around Mo or Northeast Ohio, you visually recognize him. Kind of a big dude. I mean, he's pretty physically big for, you know, all things considered. And my man's got a set of oak trees for legs, big old legs. My dude, by the way, he's from Worcester. He ran the 50K this year, 4:50 in 57 seconds. Now, I honestly thought, like, oh, shit, the record could get got. The crazy thing is, that doesn't get him into, like, the top 10, I don't think. I think, like, what it's like, Trumbo's number one. Trad Trumbo, which, by the way, phenomenal dude. Love Trad. He's a 405.13. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. By the way, I think it was Pope. I think Sean Pope was who rolled his ankle, which was, you know, he's third on the all-time list. I think that's who rolled his ankle. We could probably go back and find the DNF.
He came back.
Yeah, I think I could definitely be wrong. But then a guy who I don't know, Hunter Kucinich. That's not spelled the way of the politicians here in Ohio, so it's not him. City is just all caps Northeast, so I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. Oh, but he's from PA. Young dude, only 24 years old, 5:32. So, I mean, Jacob, you know, I pretty much ran that bad dude by himself.
He crushed the field.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the guys. As far as the women go, let me toggle over here real fast. The women, the winner of the 50K was Hannah Roberts from down in good old C-Bus. She came through in six hours, 35 seconds.
Nice.
And number two, second place, was Rebecca Akey from Shaker Heights. And I mean, what's kind of nice is that was actually a race because she's only 6 minutes behind her. She came at 6:06:45. So the women had a good race for the 50K. Here's kind of the wild thing is the change in the course I was talking about is, you know how you come out the fire tower, right? And you always cross and you go down Hogback Hollow, right?
Yeah.
That's how the course always gone.
Yep.
Well, Columbia someone's in doing gas line work, and like 99.9% of the trail is perfectly fine, but like right by the trail, there's a quite literally a pit, like a pit.
Oh, a new obstacle for forget the PR? No, got to swing on a rope over the pit.
Yeah, you know, and like the it's close. Like there's like big barricades up that says you know, path or trail closed, and like it's like you know, I mean, could have probably moved those. Probably even could have got permission to move them and run it. But Mark and Chad both like hell no, like oh hell no, some dipshit will surely fall in that pit.
Without a doubt.
So listen to the way that it ended up going. Is it ended up going from Fire Tower instead of going hogback, they took Mohican 100 long, right? Like the long route.
Oh, yeah.
So back around the juvenile detention facility, like back around there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you know where you either keep going up the road, like up that steep road that kind of sucks to climb during the 100, or you can like merge, like bear off to your right and get back on the mountain bike trail.
Mm-hmm.
They just cut down mountain bike trail. So really you came out of that one little mountain bike drop off.
Yep.
Both times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bro. Could not have made it more clear. Like, honest to God, could not have made it more clear to the runners. Hey, listen, yellow flags are up here. You're following the pink flags on this side. Don't follow yellow flags on this side. The amount of people that went up that road and then had to double back. There's like people like, that covered bridge aid station is just like an absolute, like, insane asylum. Like I came in at this point, what should I do? And they're like, keep running. What do you mean? What should you do? Like, what do you think? We're going to reimburse you the miles? Like, what are we talking about? Keep running.
Right.
But yeah, we had like just knuckleheads going up that wrong path. But anywho, that was the run this year. I was floored that the record did not get, I mean, even flirted with, because number 10 on the list is 4:17. Good old Jay Smithford. Jay was there, by the way. Jay ran again with his son, which is always fun to see. Again, it's so much like a family reunion, right? Like Jay has ran it for years and years and years. Now he's running with his son, you know, like it's just really cool to watch, you know? So,
yeah, I miss that weekend. And when I lived in Michigan, I felt the same way you did. Like I look forward to that weekend so much every year. It was just a blast, Friday all the way through Sunday. So,
okay. We always talk about the first place people, right? Because that's a great story. You know how possums, like, we have a big thing about DFL, right? Mm-hmm. Dead fucking lap. You know what I mean? Like, they give out a trophy for, like roadkill trophy and all this kind of stuff. Dude, well, unless you look at the results, you'll never... By any wild chance, do you know who got dead last this year and got a dead last trophy?
I have no clue.
Carey Reese.
Oh, nice. Carey. Yeah.
That dude is phenomenal. He's awesome. He's such a nice dude. My dude is 71 years old.
Yeah.
And when he came across the finish line, it'd been a while since he ran this race. When he came across the finish line, we had some lean going on. Like we had, like it was so awesome. It was so awesome.
Good for him. I know he moved to Kentucky and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And so we had a bunch of people that just haven't ran in forever. You know what I mean? Steve Hannes. Steve Hannes has been hurt forever.
Yep.
He ran this year for the first time.
Yeah, I saw on Strava he was training for
PR. So it's like his first 50K in 5 years. So it was just such a good time. Such a good time.
Sounds awesome, man. I would expect nothing less. And you know, usually the weather there always turns out to be either like the first hot day of the year or rain mm-hmm. or just something messed up, but that's really cool that they had like perfect conditions.
Yeah, it held out for us this year. So I'm looking at the DNFs. I'm looking at DNFs, and I must have been wrong. It must not have been Sean, because I don't see Sean Pope as a DNF on here. So I don't know. But anywho, that is that's kind of the recap on Forget the PR.
Did you give out any stickers?
Gave out quite a few stickers. Quite a few stickers were given out. Yep.
Cool.
Dude. Quite a few stickers. How can I let this out? The grandfather of all Central Ohio trail running, Don Bond.
Yeah.
Came up and he was like, "Hey, here for my sticker."
Like, I love it,
dude. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's Don Bond. He's ain't show up for the run. You know what I mean?
Don is like, the best. I love Don. Shout out to Don and Betty.
Yeah. Yeah, he just like straight up rolled up, was like, "Hey, where's my what did I do for the sticker?" And I'm like, "Oh shit!" So like, he watches this on YouTube. He's one of the he prefers to watch on YouTube as opposed to podcast. But yeah, sat there and had a great talk with him, dude. Yeah. And like I told him this at the race because sitting kind of chit chatting like that. I was telling him this at the race. I remember. Gosh, at this point, it's got to be 5+ years ago. Six, I mean, my God, probably closer to 8 or 9 years ago at this point. But I remember, weirdly enough, on Private Property Loop, right, on a Mill 100 course, kind of going down a hill. Donna's like, "Hey, man, let me show you how to run downhills." And like, just like dude is like just passing on knowledge. Like, check this out. Kind of do this, kind of do that. And like, to this day, I still like use the stuff that he talked about running down hills, because for a bigger dude, that's where I can make up a lot. And like, but like, it's just like that dude. He basically helps design the Mo 100 course. He helped Rob Powell. Like he's the kind of the reason Rob Powell is who Rob Powell is, and kind of helped design and name this course, right? Yeah. Like just the amount that his hands has touched, in Ohio trail racing and ultra running,
With cross country even too.
And I was going to say, never mind the lives that he shaped and molded in high school cross country. What an effing legend! But anywho, he walked up like, "Hey, what's up?"
No, so, that's the perfect way to say it, a legend. Don, he's super humble, nice guy too. He's always willing to set some time aside to talk to you, and just a great guy. So shout out to Don and Betty.
I know they watch.
So his Betty's wife, they're great people. Yeah.
As he is watching us right now, his face is beet red.
Enjoy your 15 seconds. I'm not going to say fame because we don't have too many listeners. But,
decades of fame. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's a little bit about the race. So anything else? Like,
very cool. All right. Well, let's move on to a race that our friend. Oh wait. Before we move on from Forget the PR, I do want to say this. So before the race even started, Ultra Running Magazine releases their what's up this in Ultra this weekend.
Yeah.
And I was quite surprised shocked and very pleasantly surprised at the big picture at the header of this weekly article. None other than
bam! Look at that.
The crew, right?
Chaz,
Pete, Ronnie, and Johnny.
That is a crew right there, boy. Let me just tell you too, by the way, for folks watching on YouTube, the second guy from the right, the guy who's holding the medal more toward his chest, Pete Griggs. Dude, let me tell you, Pete Griggs absolutely roasted me because the way I'm standing in that photo. He's like, he's like, bro, why are you standing like that? I'm like, standing like what? He's like your legs all kicked out. He's like, your vest is still all buttoned up. I'm like, I don't know, man. I didn't put that much, like, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. It was just a goofy ass photo he took with Mark Carroll. I kind of messed around. Yeah, dude, he has relentlessly roasted me since this photo came out. So yeah, thanks a lot. And like, way to pick that photo.
Yeah, and this article is nationwide. I mean, like,
yeah. So
all ultra runners everywhere look at what's up in ultra this weekend, and like our best Ohio running friends and Johnny are in this picture front and center. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty great. So anyways, I just wanted to share that with the YouTube world. I know the podcast world can't really see it, but you can imagine it. Next race I want to talk about is a race that our friend Chaz, that who was just in that picture we just shown, did. And it's in Pennsylvania. It's called Heiner. I believe Heiner has been going on for quite some time. I can't remember how many years it's been going on, but it's a very popular race. So popular, in fact, that it sells out instantly. Like, it's hard to get into this race. And they have, I believe, 500 people start the 50K and 1,000 start the 25K. So 1,500 runners. It's in Pennsylvania. There's five climbs. The 50K is just shy of 7,000 feet of climbing. there's five climbs, and it's cool. Like, at the top of the first climb, there's a bell that every runner rings the bell when they go through, and apparently that's where someone passed away during the race. So
that happened just a couple years ago too.
Is that right?
Yeah, the dude passed away just a couple years ago. So Chaz, who we're talking about, who ran us, he was actually telling me about that. He's like, yeah, it's like, by the way, so yeah, that's it. If you go to this race's website, Pat Trail Dogs, well, PA Trail Dogs, my dumbass, PA Trail Dogs. If you go and you just let the pictures roll, there are a couple photos that you would think, I mean, you would think you're in, I don't know, like New England. Like, I mean, I guess technically PA,
Oregon, Washington.
Yeah. I mean, there are some like really impressive, like where they're on the side of the cliffs and stuff like
that. Oh yeah. No, it's very mountainous.
Yeah, it is nuts. As a matter of fact, one just scrolled by that. I was actually thinking of specifically. It's funny that you mentioned the size of it. Yeah, that one's crazy. But it's funny that you mentioned the size of it. When Chaz, was there that morning, he was actually like kind of weirdly disappointed. He's like, "This what? It's like 1,500 runners. What?" And he's a little disappointed, but he was actually really surprised at how small it still feels, even with that huge number. He also said, and major shout out for this race group for this Sunday morning when he woke up and went for like a shakeout walk. He said, "Dude, you could not tell a person was there." Yep. He said it looked like not a human being had been there in decades. He said it was spotless. Yep. But so yeah, he had a great race, by the way. I don't know if you talked to him post run, but the training that he's been doing, he broke down and got a coach, which, you know, for us knuckleheads, that's like a swallowing a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And he broke down and got a coach, good. And he's like, dude, it is making all the knock on wood. He finished. He's like, dude, I felt great. He's like, I don't have a thing to complain about.
He said, he said his story is boring because everything went right.
Everything went great. He said so.
Yeah, I know he's doing some reduced mileage and some other types of workouts, and that's I'm sure there's a lot to that, and I need to look into it myself. Yeah, I only run, but yeah, no, he did have a good race, and this is the first of his the Triple Crown or whatever.
Yeah,
it's Heiner, and then it's World's End 100K, which is a really hard race.
Yeah,
and then Eastern States, which is also like really hard. So, so kudos to Chaz for a great race. He did go like sub seven at Heiner, which is
six thirty. Yeah,
that's insane. I mean, that's really good for that amount of climbing and the technical. Yeah, no, good for him. Yeah, he actually sent me this article. He was like, "You guys should share this on the podcast." But there's a picture of them ringing the bell.
Yeah.
He had sent me a video too on text of the bell. Looks like a really cool event. Definitely would like to get out there for that sometime. Add it to that huge list.
add it to the ever growing list of races to do. Yeah.
That's right.
On the note of the Triple Crown, and here's why it's smart to kind of do those kind of things. I mean, as dumb as they sound, there's also a little bit of like tactical advantage. He was able to talk to a lot of folks during Heiner who have previously done the Triple Crown or has done both World's End and Eastern States. This was wild. And like Chaz has done World's End in the past also, right? We both know that. Mm-hmm. World's End took his soul a couple years ago, like snatched his soul.
Gutted him.
Yeah. And so the good news is the people he talked to Saturday said, listen, like World's End is harder than Eastern States. Like it just is. And then you start doing the trail math and you're like, well, okay, 100K, you have X amount of climbing. But then when you bump that extra 30 some odd miles in for the 100 miler, like there's not a lot more climbing. Like there's, and oh, by the way, you get 17 additional hours if you hit your cutoff for the 100K. Like the amount of like the amount of time you get to finish Eastern States is absolutely bonkers. So, anyways, yeah, I'm stoked. Absolutely amped watching Chaz do this Triple Crown this year.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely stepped up his game.
Yeah,
it'd be fun to follow.
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't have the official results out for Heiner. They do have. I found the age group results, but it doesn't.
Look at that.
I know. It doesn't give you the overall results, which is really annoying. So, and we're just looking at the 50K. You can find the overall winner right here, Jared Burdick of Fayetteville, New York, first place in 4 hours and 20 minutes and 43 seconds. So, and first place for the ladies, I don't really know because they don't give first place for gender on this. It's just overall. So I don't really know. Here's 49th for 20 to 29 year old. And then here's, let's see. Michaela Ingalls must be first for the ladies from State College, Penn State. 5 hours and 20 minutes. Yeah, that must be the first place for the ladies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, the official results weren't out on Ultra Sign Up. So, okay, moving on. Leona Divide was this weekend, the 100K, pretty famous race. In California, Lake Hughes, California. And they have a 50 miler and a 50K as well. I may be mistaken, but I think Leona Divide used to be a golden ticket race. Maybe not. But I know it's a pretty famous race. Tyler Burke got first in the 100K for the men and overall. And Gian Springer for the ladies, 12 hours and 49 minutes. Tyler Burke's time was 11 hours and 37 minutes. So congrats to them. 50-miler Michael Eastburn, 7 hours, 25 minutes. And for the ladies, Ann Del Mar, 10 hours and 49 minutes. Might as well do the 50K. Oscar Ponteri, 5 hours and 3 minutes. And Gabrielle Lieber for the ladies, 6 hours and 10 minutes.
Fifth overall, too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Nice job, Gabrielle. All right. Next race is, I'm kind of confused here because up here it says Capitan Mountain 34 hour race. But if you scroll down, it says Captain Mountain.
Captain. Yeah. Race. You know, I was wondering about that Capitan and I'm like, well, maybe it's a mistype. Maybe it's a typo, but here's why I think that it is Capitan, because it is clearly a wood carving. You know what I'm saying? Like at the top, it's clearly carved into the thing. Capitan, New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Unless the mountain is called Captain Mountain in Capitan, New Mexico. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. So,
Well, whatever it is, it's a 34-hour race. I believe it's a four-mile loop.
Yeah, four-mile runnable loop. Yep.
They have a special – oh, let's back up. This is like the birthplace of Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is that important? Why is that important for our story to come full circle?
Just one second. And the listeners will find out. so this bear cub was burned. Firefighters found it doing, you know, battling the blaze. The cub healed. He was rechristened as Smokey the Bear and came to personify the advertising character created during World War II to dissuade campers from carelessly destroying the war effort's lumber supply. So Smokey the Bear became like this big icon. And that was 80 years ago. And this was the 80th anniversary. So they do give out a belt buckle for 80 miles in this 34 hours. It's a Smokey's 80th birthday belt buckle. And then they have the 100-mile belt buckle too. If you get to 100, you get both belt buckles. There's a sub 24-hour finisher award. So anyway, the significance behind our story with the Smokey the Bear is that one of our listeners who happens to be a costume legend.
legend.
I think this might honestly be maybe her best costume yet.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Charlotte, the costume chick on Instagram, she made a Smokey the Bear costume, and she even had a shovel. Pretty cool. Scrolling through the Instagram post, she's there with Smokey the Bear, getting a bunch of pictures. And there's her running with her shovel. You know, that you think she carried that shovel the whole 80 miles?
I kind of sort of hope not. I don't know. If she did, I hope it's not a real shovel. I hope it's like cardboard. You know what I mean? But like the part that really tripped me out is the way that head, like the bear head is, like she can pull it down far enough. I don't know if it comes over her face, but there's a couple times where like it's all the way down. Like it is an amazing costume.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. And AF Marathoner was out there as well, Eric Brumbelow. And there's Charlotte
Brumbelowing
in a Port-a-John. Imagine that. And I also heard, rumor has it, that there was a group Brumbelowing picture in a bathroom. There was a whole bunch of people. I know I saw it somewhere. I couldn't find it again. But in Jason Green. Oh, yeah. We should say this race is in New Mexico, but it's put on by Yeti.
Yeah.
So Jason Green from Yeti trail races. He's expanded. He has a race in Washington, and now he has this race in New Mexico, or maybe he had it before. I'm not sure, but or maybe it's a new race. But that's really cool that he's doing these races in different areas of the country. Great guy. But there is a group brumblowing picture in the bathroom. I know that Jason is in that picture. Jason Green. Yeah. So
Yeti Marathon, Yeti Trail Race, right? On everything. They must own a belt buckle company. Like, they get buckles out like it's not like you get one for doing 80 miles in 34 hours. You get one for doing 100. Yeah. There's even a magical buckle if you did a sub 24.
That's right.
Sub 24 hour finisher award. So it's nuts.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. So I love it. Like, it's.
Yeah. Yeti's awesome. So here's the 80 mile buckle with Smokey the Bear on it, which is really cool, actually. Oh, it is Capitan. 80 miles, Capitan, New Mexico. Oh, maybe that's not, but that's not the race, though. I don't know. Anyway, that's the 80 mile buckle there that Charlotte got. And I'm not sure how many miles Eric got. But anyway, the winner, Megan Eckert. So female, first place overall with 136 miles in the 34 hours. And second and third place, well, tied for second, I guess, at 120 miles, was two more ladies, Michaela Trinidad and Christine Tokars. And first place for the men is the jester, Ed Eddinghouse, at 120 miles. So they must do it on time to where they finish their 120 miles, but I guess they all tied for second. But anyway, the jester, he always dresses up like a jester at all his races. And the cool thing is he's, in the 60 to 69 age group, and he got first for the guys.
Dude, while we're sitting there chit chatting, I started like looking around at some of the other Yeti races. They have multiple ones now in New Mexico. Like, there's Cactus to Cloud. Yeah, there's Cactus to Cloud Sky Runs.
Nice.
There's one called they must have bought this race. There's one called the Yeti Snakebite 50/50. It's been going for 11 years. Oh, wait. That, there's too much. This has got to be back in. It's got to be back in Virginia.
Oh, yeah. I think Snakebite is in Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweetwater State Park. But my gosh, like, so many races they have.
Yeah, and you know, it's really cool what he's doing with the inclusion and all that stuff. Like, and he is just a great guy. I met him once, Jason, when I was running Canyons 100K the 1 year, and I'm like, "You don't know me." He's like, "No, man, he was just like awesome. But and then I seen him at the diner the next day having breakfast. I didn't want to bother him, but all right, cool. Well, let's move on to Marathon des Sables. This is pretty famous stage race over in the Sahara Desert. And they just wrapped up, concluded on April 20th. And I guess the temperatures weren't too bad this year at the start, 65 degrees Fahrenheit. So pretty cool compared to previous years. In the men's race, this IRunFar article says that eyes were turned to the Moroccan El Moura Beatty brothers. And the one brother ended up winning, let's see here, Rashid El Moura Beatty, and his brother Muhammad got second. And they, the crazy thing is they literally finished like 30 seconds or yeah, like 35 seconds apart. No, 25 seconds apart.
Yeah.
So, they had a sprint finish. So they were actually competing towards the end.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this is a wild race. Like, this is a wild race.
Yeah, I got a really crazy story to tell about this race, too, in a minute. Because there's sandstorms and you know, all kinds of stuff that happens in this race. For the ladies, Aziza El Amrani from Morocco got first in 27 hour cumulative time. The story I want to tell is about this dude that got lost in a sandstorm at this race, and he got so turned around that he didn't know where he was, and he ended up surviving on urine and bat blood.
Ooh, and I love this, it.
So this wasn't this year. This was I think it was in 1994. Yeah, he was lost. He was lost in the desert for 10 days. 10 days. I think he found like a little like religious shrine thing that he crouched down in a shelter spot waiting for the storm to end. Lasted 8 hours. Wind died down. It was dark. He slept out in the dunes. He was in fourth place at the time, so he was upset. And then he woke up to a transformed landscape. He didn't know he was lost. He had a compass and a map, thought he could navigate perfectly, but without points of reference, it's complicated. After running for 4 hours, he climbed up a dune, still couldn't see anything, realized it was lost. First thing he did was urinate in his spare water bottle, because when you're still well hydrated, your urine is the clearest and most drinkable. He remembered his grandfather telling him how during the war, him and his fellow soldiers had drunk their own urine when their water ran out. So he did it as a precaution. So on the second day at sunset, he heard a helicopter. They didn't find him. And there's that religious thing that he found.
Yeah.
The holy man's tomb.
Oh, it's so a tomb.
Yeah. So he hunkered down in there. It's a Muslim shrine, the Bedouins stop. The Bedouins are just these people that just roam the desert. Basically, they're desert people. So he stayed in that thing for a few days, waiting to be found. He gave into despair only twice. Once was when he saw a helicopter and it didn't see him. The other time is when he saw the airplane. He'd been in there for 3 days. He heard the sound of a motor in an airplane. He didn't know if it was looking for him. He immediately started to fire with whatever he had. Another sandstorm hit right at that time. So anyway, I don't want to drag it on too much, but he ended up killing snakes and lizards and eating them raw. And
what a great story.
And when he was in that shrine, he was urine and bat blood. That's what he was
doing.
Could drinking.
You I can't even wrap my head. So it ends up being like 9 days, 10 days before he's found. Well, yeah. I mean, until he actually stumbles across like some goat herders and stuff.
Right.
I can't wrap my head around the absolute death this dude smells like.
No.
Like, I mean, like, just there. It's funny because, like, the interesting thing that he does mention is this is, like you said, this is in 1994, right? In 1994, there's only 80 runners in the race. So it's really, it was like a thing where, like, oh, you could easily get separated and lost.
Right,
said,
right.
And like now there's 1,300 runners, And so you're just constantly following this giant snake. He says, you couldn't get lost if you had to. Like, he's like, you could not. And like, it's funny, like, there's a picture in there that shows the giant, like, trail of people.
Yep.
So, yeah, it is a wild story.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. But I tell you, when you're in a situation like that, your mind will just convert to survival mode.
Yeah. And
you will, if you don't give up, you will do whatever it takes. I remember hearing the story in the past. I didn't read this article completely through, but I think he was thinking about committing suicide, you know, a few times.
Yeah.
But, you go into survival mode, so you will eat anything, snakes, raw, you know, you'll do whatever you have to do to survive. Yeah. So just, you know, go back to like animalistic, like, tendencies. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. That
it's super cool. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Next thing I want to talk about is, I didn't know that this was an FKT, but this is the longest FKT. Dude. Okay. It's called the Triple Crown of Thru Hiking. So it's in, I believe, and you have to do it in one season. And it's
one calendar year. The calendar, okay. The calendar Triple Crown, all three in one calendar year.
Yep.
And it's already been done. Like it's been done by a dude named Brian Robinson. Mm-hmm. Dude, it took him 300 days.
So this is the calendar Triple Crown, the Appalachian Trail, full send, Appalachian Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, which goes from the Mexico, New Mexico border all the way up to Canada in Montana, and the Pacific Crest Trail, which goes from the Mexico California border all the way up to the Washington Canada border. So you have to do all three of those thru hikes in one calendar year. And it's typically done in hiker style, which they term self-supported. So the self-supported record, is Billy Meredith, who you mentioned, right?
Brian Robinson is the one.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's first done. It's first done by Brian Robinson.
Okay. Billy Meredith holds the self-supported record 234 days in like 9 hours and 55 minutes. That's pretty good, man.
You know what really kind of like, where did you and I go wrong in our lives?
I don't know.
Like, what the F is that dude doing that he can be like, you know what? Not only am I not going to work for damn near a year.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do something that's going to cost me thousands, right? Like, it's got to be close to $10,000 to do this.
I mean, yeah. You got to figure in the logistics. Yeah, cost and the logistics of, like, planning out all these meal drops or all these, you know, supply drops in the mail.
I think it's got to be more than 10 grand. It's got to be more than 10 grand. Because I'll be honest, I didn't even think about, like, you have to have some dumbass friends or some dumbass family members follow you, not up one, not two, but three. The amount of money that takes.
Oh, insane. And not to mention all the gear. Imagine how many, I don't know if he was using hiking boots or, like, you know, some people wear like ultra, you know, like trail running shoes these days. Like, that's almost 8,000 miles.
Let's see something. So I go through a pair of shoes on a good, like if I get total use out of some shoes, I get about 300 miles out of them.
Oh, really?
Like, that's it. That's it. Like I can go through some shoes. Let's round that up to 500 just for like GP. Yeah. So 7,000 miles. Divide that by 8,000 miles. 8,000 miles. Divide that by 500. I'm going to get out 16 pairs of shoes, dude.
Yeah. Let's say those cost 140 bucks each.
Times 140? That's $2,200 in shoes alone.
Oh, man.
That's crazy. I mean, like, what? Yeah,
in 1 year.
In 1 year. That yeah. you're not working.
Yeah.
That you're not working. Like, what yeah. in the F? What are these people doing for a living? I'm not mad. I'm a little jealous.
A little bit.
But I'm not mad. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I know. I'm like, amazing. I'm like thinking, when can I do it? Or when can we do a thru hike of the Pacific Crest Trail? Like, when I retire?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny because, like, there's a part of me, I'm not going to, like, this will sound crazy talk, but there's a part of me sitting there listening. So I'm like, dude, that'd be amazing just to take, like, a year off.
Yeah.
And, like, just to say, take a year off, like, in a weird kind of way, like, I don't know. If you're empty nester, you know what I mean? And like, hey kids, college is on you. You're empty nester. Like, there's a weird sadistic part of me that's completely detached from reality. And I'm like, might be able to save up for that.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh yeah, that's right. I gotta be able to survive when I come back from it. And oh yeah, that's right. I gotta be able to buy everything.
Yeah.
I it's just amazing. Like it is a crazy.
And to add on to that, like into the logistics factor, you're doing one calendar year. So you gotta, there's not one of these courses that doesn't go through high mountains.
Yep.
Or, you know, the Appalachian or Appalachian Trail. You know, it goes through some, you know, Maine and that. It's like pretty serious winter, right? So you really, and you're not getting into the high country like on a big snow year, like in the Sierra. Granted, this guy that set the record did it in 22, and I think that was a pretty dry. That was a pretty dry winter. Actually, I don't know when he started and ended. Oh, December 22nd. So
I feel like if I am going to do this. So if I'm looking at his, so I'm looking at Billy's, right?
No, he started in May of 2023.
He started May 2nd. So if I'm starting May 2nd, I'm probably starting. I'm probably starting in like Georgia. Right, I'm probably starting in Georgia and going north, and then I'm probably then jumping over to Pacific Crest. Now I'm probably starting south again and going north just to get the heat, you know what I mean, to try to beat the really, really bad heat, but also that puts me into the mountains in like, you know, a decent time, and then I'm probably just like fucking grinding it. And then I think I'm gonna start north though on the Continental Divide. I'm gonna start north and go south and try to get late fall, early winter way up high and go south. I think that's how, looking at his timeline, I think that's what I would do.
You're gonna have to hike through snow no matter what.
Yeah, you're wait, does it tell us the
It was the highest snow year on record in the Sierra that year. He did the Appalachian Trail last. So, he was hoping to complete all three trails in one continuous stretch, but with the highest snow year on record in the Sierra, he opted to flip from the PCT to the Continental Divide to allow the snow to melt in late May, and he got back to the PCT in August. He averaged 32 miles a day and 5,556 feet of gain to set the record, taking a total of 40 days. Dude.
He only took 40 days. But you know what's kind of wild? And like, listen, I'm going to say a dumb word here. He only averaged 32 miles a day. I mean, listen,
that's doable.
Not that bad.
You can't get injured, and some areas would be harder than others for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, like 32 hours. I mean, like you can kind of sleep in kind of nicely.
Yeah.
And so if we did 30, if I said, if you slept in until 9, oh man, I don't know. I don't know. That's interesting. Like that's logistically interesting.
And you know, he started in May, so he had a lot of light at first, but
yeah.
Starting getting into October or November and the time change, the days are very not much light, but yeah, it's 32 miles a day it's doable at a hiking pace for sure.
Interesting.
But anyway, yeah, so it sounds like he started on the PCT, but then jumped over to the Continental Divide and then went back to the PCT and then did the Appalachian Trail at the end.
Oh.
So
you don't have to do all, you don't have to finish one full one. You can break them up.
Yep. He probably started off where he left mm-hmm. off. You know, he couldn't get through the Sierra because it was record snowpack.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, I guess. All right.
So
cool.
that kind of brings us into our, that kind of begins to bring us into our other news, right? Like I think race results, but then other news. Do we want to go right in? I mean, right back to Africa stuff, right?
Yeah, I got one thing to say before we jump into Africa stuff. This weekend is Mount Fuji 100 mile, and there are some pretty star-studded runners in that. Courtney DeWalter is running, the GOAT. Nicole Bitter is running. So there's some pretty good American ultra runner ladies. I didn't look at the preview for the men's race, but Aravaipa is going to be live streaming Mount Fuji this weekend, in the Mountain Outpost YouTube channel. So, if you're a diehard ultra marathon fan, or just curious about the Mount Fuji 100,
yeah.
Aravaipa, I don't think they're going to be actually out there filming. I think they're just doing the English commentary on the feed. So I imagine they're going to be doing it from the U.S., but I don't know that for a fact. I don't know. I know AJW is going to be doing some of that commentary, but I'd be interested to check it out. Look at all the people on that start line. Holy crap.
Crazy talk, yeah.
Yeah, this is the trailer for it anyway. Looks kind of cool. Lots of people look like first. That's pretty hazy.
Yeah,
like maybe some rain.
I hope that's rain and not pollution.
I know. Okay, let's one more thing actually before we jump into the Africa story. I was going to do a LASCON update.
Yeah, I don't think it's good news.
Have you, I don't know what you've heard. April 23rd, there was a tweet because, you know, Jared Beasley has not pacing him anymore. So we're not.
Right. Yeah.
We're not getting the updates like we were. Somebody posted yesterday that he was in West Virginia looking strong. So. I guess after 3 weeks, he was 366 miles in per Keith Dunn.
Yeah.
and less than 3,000 miles remain. So that's about all we got. I don't know. Have you heard anything?
I haven't. Just that part. Like, what's funny is, like, the part I was reading, I think I misread Keith's tweet. And when I said, I don't think it's looking good, I read it as it is complete, as in he is done. But then, like you said,
oh, really?
Yeah. But then, like you said, there's a tweet that's on the 23rd that he's in West Virginia looking strong. I mean, that's 2 full days later. So I don't know. It has gotten a little harder to find stuff. So
yeah. And, you know, Laz, he's not going out of his way to post anything. No,
else. No. Uh-uh. So,
he's just out there smoking heaters and
burning heaters, baby.
Trudging along. All right, let's get into this Africa stuff. So it wasn't enough that, you know, we had the hardest geezer that just ran from the southernmost point of Africa to the northernmost point of Africa. There's another guy that is doing an Africa run, and I don't think he's going all the way to the northern point. I think he's going to he's trying to set the record from Cape Town to
Egypt. He's going to Cairo, yeah, Egypt.
Cairo. Okay. So he's not going the whole way. He's going from Cape Town to Cairo, and he's trying to beat there is a record for that.
Well, when you say he's not going the whole way, what do you mean by that?
All the way to Tunisia, the northernmost point.
Well, okay, but I mean, let's not get twisted. Egypt is still a northern country. It's the northernmost country in the northeast corner of Africa. So, I mean, my dude's still going from bottom to top. He's just going. He's not doing the bump. You know what I mean? He's not. But that's right. That's right.
He's
nuts.
Like, it's almost there, right? Like. Yeah. Like, so this is more up the west side.
No, east.
Or east side of Africa, yeah. Right? Whereas Hardest Geezer went up the west side. Yeah. So Tunisia, you're right. Tunisia is not that much more north than Cairo.
It's like saying, I'm trying to think of a good example of, like, we're basically busting these dudes' balls, like, over, like,
like going, well, to Maine, like the top of Maine, or, you know,
I mean,
compared to, like,
I mean, yeah,
Minnesota,
yeah, yeah,
or whatever.
Weird question for you, weird, because I am a geography nerd. Do you know the highest? Do you know continental U.S.? Do you know what state is the furthest north in North America, in the United States?
Well, it's got to be either Washington, Michigan, or Maine.
No, or no, and no.
Wisconsin.
No. When I tell you this answer, it's going to melt your brain. You will disagree with me. You'll try to go prove me wrong and look at a map, and you'll realize, oh shit, John is right. Let me know when.
Dude, just tell me. Just tell me.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay.
Minnesota's the furthest north state in the continental U.S. So, anyways, it's funny. It's like kind of like when you said the Minnesota Maine thing. It's like, well, you didn't go as far north.
This map doesn't even look. That's a crappy map.
But anyways, yes, this dude's going way up there. It is wild though, because when you,
I'm not taking anything away from him, man.
I know.
It might as well be all the way south to north, whatever.
I mean, what's wild about where he's running is, like, he's running through, like the region of Africa that would have, like, Kenya, Rwanda, Somalia, Ethiopia. I mean, he's running in, like, the plains. I mean, like, the lions and elephants.
That's right.
And, like,
the safaris.
Like, my dude is running, like, it's funny when you're like, well, yeah, but he didn't have to run through the jungles. Nobody has to run by effing lions. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny, like, talking about these two idiots and what they ran through and by.
Right. So he's trying to set the record, but his run is in jeopardy after a kidnapping attempt. So,
God.
Keith Boyd from Wargrove, Berkshire, has been running Cape Town, South Africa to Cairo, Egypt for 270 days now. Security issues in northern Ethiopia have stalled his progress, preventing him from passing through on three separate occasions. He's been held at gunpoint and narrowly avoided being kidnapped. Mr. Boyd, who is British South African, said he thought an attempt by rebel groups to take him and his videographer, Michael, hostage was game over. He had nightmares of them getting us away from the road. He was telling Michael, we have to stay near the road and hope police or army would come fast and see this. He added it was turning into a full-blown kidnapping before the situation defused rather remarkably. It comes after Russell Cook, the hardest geezer, successfully ran the full length of Africa, crossing the finish line in Tunisia after 352 days last month. He also faced setbacks getting robbed at gunpoint, which we know.
Yeah.
So I guess Mr. Boyd has launched a petition urging the Ethiopian government to allow him to run his final 310 miles across the country and ensure his run is recognized officially by the Guinness Book of World Records. He said it would be a real tragedy if he couldn't do that last 310 miles. Because it's been 26 years since the record was set.
What's funny is the last line of this article is just absolute, like, stop it, dude. A 56, overweight 57-year-old, bro. You're not overweight. Like, what? Like, some people's self-deprecation is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Like, get out of here. But yeah, this is absolutely nuts.
That's overweight.
Like, yeah, I know, right? I'm like, dude, what are we doing?
Well, like, I guess running across Africa is a good weight loss plan.
I'm saying, yeah, you might drop a couple lbs, right? Could you imagine the amount of nutrition you have to try to take in just to not, like, it's insane. No. So, on the note of running through Africa and on the note of hardest geezer, that kind of pulls us into him running the London Marathon.
That's okay. Right.
Fine.
He ran the London Marathon.
Fine. Great. I don't really care that he ran the London Marathon. I know that sounds mean. I do care about this lad running the the London Marathon. So, this is amazing.
So I can see drinking beer during a race. This guy from South Africa, he drank a glass of wine every mile. Okay. There's a video clip of this on X or Twitter, whatever it is. I'm going to play this right now.
It's London Marathon Day. We're starting with a red. We're doing 20. Look at the hair. 26 wines, one per mile.
Let's 26 go. Wines.
Red.
Could be a Pinot Noir. America's a Pinot Noir from Burgundy.
From Burgundy. 2018. You guys are a total wine drinker, too.
If that's not a Barolo, fire me.
Barolo, stop two, Chardonnay.
Get down like a greasy chit on Sunday night.
Stop three.
We got a red.
Dude, I would be puking my guts out. Bordeaux, five. Shiraz, seven.
Quite fruity. A little bit of sugar.
Yeah. Oh.
It tastes like that piss I had last week. Jam shed.
Tastes like piss you had last week. Amperina. Cab soft, stop 14, seven knees. Oh my god, let's just not do it, man. I can drink like one glass of wine, maybe, but
yeah,
not in a race.
I mean, he's like enjoying them too.
Oh, yeah, he's like doing the full on taste test. He's like,
yeah,
it's a little fruity, a little sweet.
He's trying Chardonnay. To guess them. Like, he's trying to guess them. If he gets them right, it's giving a little green check. If he gets them wrong, it's actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I missed that before. Australia.
Have I scratched it? On my way to
you got the Shiraz, right? Dude, he's just. You got that one right.
Bang. Cheers, mate.
He didn't get the Malbec.
Stop 20. Stop 20. He is looking rough, boy.
He is looking rough. He's, you know what he looks like right now is on Revenge of the Nerds when they're doing the tricycle race where they drink a beer. Piedmont Barber. Guess that right. Okay.
Stop
20. Dude, he is hammered. He's schmammered. Anyway.
Crazy.
He did it, man.
Good stuff. Right.
That's enough. That's enough for today. All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. If you tuned in. Do you have anything else for us this week, Johnny?
I don't. I saw the thing about AJW, but I think we want to wait for AJW, right?
Yeah, we're at our time now. We're about an hour and 11 in. So,
AJ's gonna have to wait.
Yeah, we'll cover. You know, we still have one or two of his underrated races or
Which are fabulous. So fun.
Yeah, that we have to cover. And he still comes out with them every so often. We'll get into that next week if we have time. We spent a lot of time on the races today, but it was fun.
Yeah.
So
cool. All right. As always, hit us up on the socials. Give us a like, give us a follow, subscribe, all that kind of fun stuff. Let us know what races you guys are running. Let us know what's out there that you're excited about. If you're excited about it, more likely we're going to be excited about it. So let us know what's going on, and we'll look into it.
Yeah, we'd be happy to talk about any race that anybody wants to talk about. So if you're a race director or you know of a race director that wants us to talk about their race, we'd be more than happy to do that. So hit us up.
Cool. All right. Appreciate everybody.
All right. See you on the next one.